You're listening to a special Easter edition of the Sunday, Sunday, Sunday podcast, a reflection of the upcoming Sunday Catholic Mass readings. And now your host, the Bible geek, Mark Hart.
Well, good to be with you again, my family. This week we're taking a look at the third Sunday of Easter. Our first reading from Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 3, verses 13 and 15, then verses 17 through 19. Our responsorial psalm from Psalm 4, verses 2, 4, and 7 through 9. Our second reading from 1 John, chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And our gospel from St. Luke, chapter 24, verses 35 through 48. I'm going to make a public confession here, and this is not something I have to do in the confessional, although after you hear it, you might think it should be. I love The Karate Kid, and by that I mean the movies, not the actors, and by that I mean the original movie, not the remake, and no offense to, you know, Little Smith, you know, I'm sure he and his sister are whipping their hair back and forth and all that good stuff. The new one wasn't bad, but it lacked something for me that the original had. I always loved The Karate Kid. In fact, I even wrote a blog once. I'm not ashamed to admit, it's on CatholicYouthMinistry.com. I wrote a blog about everything I learned from The Karate Kid. And one of the things I loved most about it back then, and I'll admit, I was one of those kids that summer who was trying to do the crane technique, like out and back of my house after I saw the movie for like the fifth time. One of the things I loved about it was the part, and here's a spoiler, was the part where Miyagi, you know, takes Daniel and he has him doing all these chores around the house. He's painting the deck and waxing the floor and painting the fence and, you know, sanding the deck, whatever. And he's doing all these chores and he doesn't understand why, but he just tells him to keep doing it. Tells him to keep doing it until a point where he's so frustrated and he starts to argue with the teacher. And finally, the teacher, he shows him why he had him doing all these different exercises. And the reason I liked it was that you had this wise old, you know, Jedi type in Miyagi who was trying to train this young upstart, trying to teach him, hey, there's a lot more to learning than just the technique. And you have to trust me. All right. You have to trust me and you have to do what I tell you to do. I'm preparing you for something else. But it takes trust in the wisdom of the father figure. It takes trust in the wisdom of the teacher. And my brothers and my sisters, a lot of the time, I think that we get caught up in only what's going on right in front of us today, what's going on in front of us this week or this year. And a lot of times, because we don't have God's divine perspective, we're not looking at things from a wider perspective like God is, we can't see the way that certain situations we're going through, certain things that are happening in our life right now, that God is allowing to happen because he's trying to grow us. He's trying to refine us, trying to refine our skills, trying to help us to grow because he intends to use that virtue and those skills later on in life. And he has that benefit. He's God. And what we have to do, my brothers and my sisters, is to pray enough to trust that no matter what's coming our way this day, that with God, there's enough grace to handle it. And no matter what's coming our way this day, that God can use it for his glory, maybe tomorrow and maybe years from now. In these readings this week, they really are a challenge for us to understand God's greater perspective, that throughout the centuries, God was moving. And God was moving to prepare the hearts of the people in Israel and around the world for everything he was going to do in his son, in his earthly ministry, and in the ministry of the church that would follow. In this first reading, Peter is proclaiming to the people in Acts, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our ancestors. Whenever we start a dialogue like that, it's trying to point back before we point people forward. Hey, this God I'm about to tell you about, he's the God of all these patriarchs in the past, and he was the God back then. But what he was doing back then was preparing us for right now. He says, has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and denied in Pilate's presence. And he goes on to say, the author of life you put to death, but God raised him from the dead. And to this we are witnesses. And as he speaks, he says, look, we know that the Messiah was going to suffer. This is what the prophets told us. Again, the prophets had said this. We were being prepared ahead of time for what was going to happen to Jesus. And it's only in that light of what was happening before, only in the light of God's wisdom, that we can fully understand what happened to Jesus. And you have to think at that time, too, they're still trying to share with people the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead. They had seen him die. They had heard about him die. They're trying to share this truth and point to the future by pointing first to the past. But you have to view this through the light of God. And that's why in the responsorial psalm, it's saying, Lord, let your face shine upon us. It's through the radiance of God's face, the light of God's face. It's through God's light that all those things that appear dark, that we see them for what they really are. It's through the light of God's face that things in the past that don't make sense, or even in our present that might not make sense, will make sense in the future. And that's why in the second reading, John is trying to encourage us. He says, my children, I'm writing this to you so that you may not commit sin. And if you do sin, understand that Christ is the righteous one, okay? And he died for our sins. All right, so if you know him, you have to live a certain way. Even if you're in darkness right now, in sin right now, if you know Christ, you're called to live in a different way. And that's why in this gospel account, in another resurrection appearance, when Jesus comes and he comes into their midst again and he breathes peace on them again, he says, touch me, okay? See that I'm not a ghost. I have flesh and bones. He even eats with them. Okay, this is not a mental breakdown the apostles are having. This is not just a spiritual phenomenon. That Jesus in his glorified body, okay, is moving around, and he's actually foreshadowing what's going to happen with us with the resurrection of our bodies. That's what we talk about in the creed. That's what we profess to believe at the end, that we're going to have resurrected bodies too. But in this way, he starts to explain to them. It says he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. He's trying to give them a bigger perspective. When it says everything written about in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms, that was the way that people would say the whole Old Testament, the three parts, Moses and the prophets and the Psalms or the prayers. This was an explanation of the whole Old Testament. So when Jesus comes into their midst in this glorified way, in this resurrected way, and he starts to show them how God had been preparing the world for his coming and for his death and for his resurrection. So by pointing back, he's actually encouraging them to go forward. My brothers, my sisters, don't get trapped in your past regrets and don't get filled with future fears and anxieties. Live in the present and trust that right now, God has already been working for your salvation. He's already been preparing you in the past for things you're going through right now. And my brothers and my sisters, he's preparing you and refining you right now for what he's going to call you to in the future. That's the beauty of a good teacher. And if you have a good teacher, you will be able, like the Karate Kid, to survive any fight or foe that God puts before you. May God bless you this week.
This podcast is brought to you by your friends at lifeteam.com.